Shut up and sit down.
I'm not looking for laughter. I want groans.
I want to put my watch on my belt, but I realize it was a waste of time.
I am riding my bike down the street of cobblestone.
My friend texted his girlfriend Ruth and broke up with her. Man, he's ruthless.
You are listening to The Dialed Podcast with Matt LeGrand, Evan Price, Lance Heffler, and Jake Von During. Silence is golden. Unless you have kids, then silence is suspicious.
I burned my Hawaiian pizza today. I should have had it on a aloha temperature. Someone just stole my mood ring. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I went to a party last night and everybody had a cold. Yo, it was freaking sick. I was trying to figure out how lightning works, and then it struck me.
I am riding my back down the street of cobblestone.
Okay, it's fine. Why don't you take a seat? You look a little tired.
I'm too tired. Like a bicycle.
What is happening to me?
Hi, and welcome back to the Dial Podcast. I am Jake Von During, and I'm here with Lance Friggin' Heppler.
Lance Friggin' Heppler.
For your listening pleasure.
For your listening pleasure. Here I am.
What's up, your frigginess?
How are you? Freaking. How are you friggers doing?
Friggin' fantastic. To Lance's left, Mr. Matt LeGrand.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen of the internet? You guys are looking fan-frickin-tastic.
That's right.
Thank you.
That is right.
You look better than you look better than you are.
Also true.
Coming to us over the Verizon network. You guys might remember this guy, Mr. Evan Price.
You might remember. You might not.
Probably not. Probably not.
Nope. It's, I don't understand.
How old are we all now? I don't know. This was a perfect timing because I am on the trainer on a beautiful day outside.
It's 80 degrees drinking. And perfect here.
Absolutely beautiful. This is not by choice. But we are what we're drinking is about enough tailwind to probably clog up a drain. and about 6 granola bars and another 4 Annie's packs of gummies. So I'm chewing into the microphone. I don't apologize.
We're all drinking LaCroix.
We know how to mute you.
Yeah.
What's everybody perfect. Drinking today?
What's everybody drinking today?
Nice. LaCroix. LaCroix around the...
LaCroix.
We all got LaCroix.
LaCroix. Awesome.
Do you know what I am not...
Go
do
ahead.
You know what I'm not drinking anymore, real quick, while we're talking about drinks?
Red Bull.
I have not had an energy drink.
Whoa.
In about 3 months.
Wow.
Wow. It's
almost 3 months now. Yep.
Wow. The shaking finally stopped.
No.
What finally prompted that, Evan?
You know, I think it just finally came down to there's just so many things with my lifestyle that need to change for long-term health, and that was probably somewhere on the list.
It's on there.
So why not start it now?
So energy drinks way down. Is there an inverse relationship to coffee consumption by chance?
No, coffee's still pretty high. And good. I might at some point this year before a race take an energy drink, but
yeah.
Now outside of that, it is it's definitely not part of the weekly process anymore.
I think you'll notice that when you've come off the caffeine kick for a little bit and then you take some in before a race, it's so much more effective.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the thought process too.
Far less fun though.
It actually, what I used to do before Ironman races was I would take a week or 2 weeks off of caffeine and then race morning have one. And it's like, whoa, you feel so good.
Okay.
No, wow.
But
you have headaches and body aches for like.
Yeah, but caffeine to the untrained body can sometimes cause some
diarrhea.
It's not like it's not like your body is untrained. It knows what to do. It's like drink coffee, go to the bathroom. Go race. And
two weeks off of caffeine is not gonna make us not train for caffeine anymore,
and
hopefully.
The other thing is like pre-race, your body's just like dumping everything anyway. It's like get rid of all things.
Dumping.
And that was
so much pooping.
Yeah.
12 years old. Love it.
My God.
I mean, before all of those running races, I would always go to the bathroom like 3 times.
Oh yeah. I'm on a 3 groove rotation.
Yeah. That's where you want to be.
Pre-race.
It's funny how our bodies do. This could be a whole topic in its own. The things that our body does when we know that it has to go and compete.
The whole topic is like pooping.
Stupid things like, not stupid, but things like the flogging ride. Like, yeah. You want to go out there and you want to perform, and you treat that a little bit like a race. Right. Your body's like, oh, okay, we're going to do the whole pre-race thing? All right, let's do this.
Go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, hey, guys, guess what? Just when everybody gets used to the new format that we started about the beginning of the year, we're going to...
Champ Bailey.
We're going to do the lead out news first.
Mix it up.
Champ Bailey is late. No, he's here. Here I am. We are going to talk first thing about the Giro d'Italia. Brand new news coming out this morning. It is Monday morning as we're recording this. It is a rest day on the Giro after 9 stages of the Giro. And the big news is... Remco has pulled out.
Evan, did you see this?
Oh, yeah. Definitely saw it. That was, it's tell you what, you know, yeah, taking care of yourself is also part of winning Grand Tours. So this counts as him not winning.
Okay. So 100% agree with you, which, you know.
I don't want to hear if he would have not gotten sick, he would have won.
So what exactly happened with Remco to force him to use the rhythm method?
Okay. So
he had to pull out because he was diagnosed with COVID.
Do you know what they call the rhythm method? Late Keltian Derby.
They got a name for it.
Disney might drop us, guys. I don't know.
Disney. I know. Our Disney sponsorship is over.
Let's go back a couple stages. We had a mountaintop. Not a mountaintop finish. I can't think anymore. Trial. Before the time trial. The day before the time trial.
Finished on top?
Did not finish on top. Oh, my gosh. I've lost it. It did not finish on top. There was an up and a down and an in and out.
That's what she said.
Okay, sorry. All right. So
guys, can we get serious here? I mean, Remco's time trial position was very, very tight. Okay. It was very tight and narrow.
We're not going to the time trial yet. We're going to the day before. So the day before, on the final climb of the stage, there was a downhill after the final climb. But the final climb of the stage, Remco lost contact from Roglic. And so Roglic
and Garrett Thomas, right?
Garrett Thomas and Theo, what's his last name?
Gegenhart.
Yeah. Gegenhart. Theo Gegenhart. They were sticking with Remco, trying to stay on his wheel, but as Roglic pulled away, they went around and Remco couldn't go with him. So he cracked just a little bit on that day. He ended up only losing like 18 seconds or something to both of them, but they put time into him and thought, oh, wow, Remco's showing a little bit of frailty
sign
here.
Sign of weakness, yeah.
Yeah, sign of weakness. So next day, time trial, and no Filippo Ganna. Why? Tested positive for COVID, so he pulled out too. He did not do that. He didn't do the time trial. And so, man, it was looking good for Theo Gegenhart, but then Geraint Thomas outrode him.
Garrett
Thomas. I can't say his name. I don't know why I can't say it. So Garrett Thomas does great in the time trial and ends up beating his teammate, Theo Gegenhart, by like 2 seconds or 3 seconds. So he's in the lead, and freaking Remco goes out there. He doesn't dominate. He just barely squeaks by.
It's like 1 second, right?
1 second. Yeah. Wins the stage, a 40-minute time trial by 1 second.
And that actually put him back in the pink.
It did. Wow. Because the guy in the pink jersey lost like a minute and a half. And so it put Remco back in the pink jersey, super exciting and super fun. And then like an hour later, he announces, I tested positive for COVID and I'm pulling out.
So did he do that time trial knowing that he had COVID?
I don't know.
Because an hour later, the timing is a little
fishy. Maybe it was that evening.
Well, sure.
He made some comments, though, about how he just didn't feel like he had legs. He didn't feel right. He didn't feel like himself. And then he said at some point in time during the time trial that like things kind of woken up and he finished strong.
Right.
But he didn't feel like his normal self. So I'm sure him coming back and telling whoever his supportive person hey, you know, something's a little off. Maybe like, you know, maybe we should just test you just to be safe. And if, you know, Filippo Ganna, when did he come out as tested?
The day before.
So there's obviously the it's in the forefront of your mind that it's going around right now.
Right.
People on the Peloton have it. Maybe we should go test you.
There are so no UCI rules about testing at the moment. It's all up to the teams.
Yeah.
If they want to test them, how often they test them. And there's no rule that says if you test positive, you have to pull out either. But that's up to the teams as well. But he decided.
What about like the different countries and the municipalities of where they're racing at? Are there any?
That's a good question.
I don't know. This restrictions is Italy. There?
Yeah. Very I feel like everything. Friendly. Yeah, that's true. They're bike friendly. But like, I also okay. I think we should all put on our tinfoil hats for a minute. Got them on. It's radio. Yes, you say got them on.
Yes,
they're on.
Yes, we do.
What if the whole thing was like just made up? So that
he's looking really
up,
good.
So that he can gear up for the tour.
Pull him out.
That's very interesting.
I know where you're going with this, Matt. There's well, actually, no way.
This is why, no. I, this is actually David Goodman's like
winning a Grand Tour.
Right. He pulls out,
but maybe
winning the Grand Tour.
But maybe he felt like I'm cracking early in this first week of this stage. Like something's not right. COVID or no COVID, he pulls out. He starts focusing on the tour.
So then they put him on the tour team is a possibility. Yeah. What is that, a month away?
6 weeks, I
six,
think.
6 weeks away, the Tour de France?
I think that my tinfoil hat theory is not good. I don't think you pull. I mean, the thing that we don't know about Remco is that we don't know about that third week. We know he can do like a week or two. Yep. We don't know if he can do a three-week tour and crush.
Here's another question. Like, if he does have COVID, and let's say it's the variety that doesn't really kick your backside so bad that you're, you know, unable to do anything.
Yeah.
Could he potentially still have it and sit in? And if that was the case, how would that be received worldwide? How would that be received in the Peloton?
If he had COVID and he stayed in the race?
Because
that's not cool.
It's not cool at all, if you ask me. So it makes all the sense in the world to pull him out, and maybe they do recalculate. Well, he's not going to be able to finish this one. Why can't we maybe... how much is he going to lose? I mean, how down and out is he going to be?
Good question.
Take a little rest week, and then
he's going to take a week
back to elevation and start training.
Here's my thing, though. He had COVID, and he still won a Grand Tour time trial.
Correct.
Well,
so what the hell?
But he didn't win it by 10 seconds like he did for the
second. Right.
But I mean, what was it? Wasn't it like a 20K that he won it by 10 seconds?
23 seconds.
It was a stupid amount of time for that short of a distance.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Yeah.
Like, suspiciously weird. So...
So
I'm just going to say, winning by 1 second sounds about right for someone that has COVID.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he has COVID. I think it's all above ground, above table. It's all fair game. And I do think that he's going to recover for a week and he's going to try and make it in the tour. That's
now,
my theory.
Here's another question for you. Why wouldn't they take him to the tour? Why? I mean... Is their team already set? Is there somebody that's going to be better?
No. Nobody's even announced their teams yet. Nobody's announced their tour teams yet.
There's a couple teams that have come out and have, I think, given some soft lineups of who their team's going to be. I don't think it's the official, like what they've submitted to the tour, but there's teams that are starting to come out and say, hey, this is what our team looks like. If I'm not mistaken, I saw that.
Julian Alaphilippe.
They've got Julian Alaphilippe. Casper Asgreen. They've got Fabio Jakobsen.
Oh yeah,
Tim Relier. I mean,
none of those guys
are
sprinters. None of those guys are Remco.
Who's gonna be a GC guy? I mean, Alaphilippe isn't even really a GC guy.
No, I don't think so.
Tim Leclerc. Super
domestic.
He'll be a hell of a domestique for sure.
Evan, you love Remco Evenepoel. What do you want him to do?
You got a poster of him. Are you looking at a poster of him right now?
He's right next to my Lance poster over here. So, what I think would be. Basically, Quickstep's going to have to make a choice as a team. They're going to have to basically say, okay, we are going to 100% go behind a GC guy like Remco or they're stage hunting. If they try to do both, Remco absolutely will not win the tour, which means pulling out of the Giro would have made no sense.
Jumbo did it last year.
Who?
Jumbo did it last year.
Tried to do both.
They did both.
Yeah, but Jumbo's team is way deeper. Quickstep.
Here's what I think you do.
Quickstep would struggle right now. The problem is that they have most of their guys that they would need Remco to have in the tour are at the Giro right now.
Yeah.
So
what if you did?
The problem is who's going to protect him in the mountains?
Julian Alaphilippe.
Yeah,
absolutely not. He's not. This is not. I mean, he's cresting his best days here. Yeah. Now, I still think that Alaphilippe could be a Valverde later in his days where he could stage poach for sure. But he's not going to be up there with Sepp Kuss
just climbing away
the pace right now. Yeah, no.
I think Remco's legit. I think he's fine. I don't think that he can do it all by himself, but I think he could do it with Julien Alaphilippe doing the first half of all the big stages or whatever.
I don't disagree with you. And I think that Remco's crafty enough and strong enough, as much as I don't really care for the kid,
right,
he's to good. Sit on wheels.
Yeah. I don't think he, I don't know. I wouldn't say he's like super crafty, but he's good enough. But
those two wheels,
talented.
Those two wheels are Vingegaard and Pogacar, who are going to be in absolute peak shape.
Like, well, I mean, we don't know about that.
I'll say that they're both going to be ready to go for sure.
I think you're right, but it's yet to be seen, right? We got a broken wrist for Pogacar. So he's missing. Yeah, he's missing training for sure.
Nah, he can run on the trainer, man. With a broken wrist.
Nah, they got him on the trainer, man. He's still crushing Zwift. 30 hours a week on the trainer.
He's getting all those Zwift jerseys.
Dude, that guy. They power ups. They gave him all the bionic wrist. Yeah. He's strapped into Zwift. Stop, that guy's riding 30 hours.
Oh yeah, we haven't talked about the Zwift coffee shop.
There's a coffee stop on Zwift now.
What,
Evan? Try the Zwift coffee shop right now.
You can take a 3-minute break, and your avatar will stay with the group that you're riding with.
So there's more details to it.
How do you get that?
There is more. It's in the new update.
Is it like a thing that you get like a power up kind of thing?
Yeah, you have to be riding for 30 minutes, and
you get a
30 seconds.
After 30 minutes, you get a 30 second stop, and then after another 30 minutes, it goes up.
You get like a 3-minute stop if you need to go to the bathroom.
So instead of calling it a piss break, they call it
a coffee stop.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It'll just keep
that. I think that's smart.
It hooks you onto wherever you are, like in a group.
What about,
doesn't work during races.
What about like scheduled event rides that you're doing? Like if we were to put together team rides.
Yes. It would work for us. God,
and there's
you
guys know how many times
we do because we've been riding
to
with
the bathroom while my avatar is going downhill, hoping and praying that I'm going to get back in time before the group drops me. Or I just get a full on like 30-second pit stop, and I'm now going to have to chase on for God knows how long.
Yes.
Sorry.
We have seen you do that before many, pretty much every time.
I'm good at it. Really
and
good.
My problem is if I take a bathroom break and I don't time it just right with a downhill, I'm done. Like, there goes my ride with the group.
You're off the back.
Doesn't happen. So that the coffee stop, that's a good little feature.
Okay, sorry. That was a Zwift detour.
It's important.
So going back to Evan Pohl, we shall... see, maybe
we shall see.
I mean, I'm sure we'll get plenty of reports over the next week as to what his health and his condition is and how he's feeling. And I'm sure they'll maybe give or shed some light on the situation as to what they're going to do. The other thing is, well, maybe they just don't do that and then they're going to throw him at the Vuelta.
That's what I was going to say.
That's probably the more likely thing, but
it is probably the smart thing to do if you're a.
It'd be great to see him in the Tour and just get his butt kicked.
He wants to go race with the Big Six.
Yes, he does. He wants to be a Big Six.
Yeah, man, you can't call yourself Big Six and not go to the Tour. Mm-hmm. Like, could you imagine? That's the equivalent of like somebody in the NBA being like, "I'm one of the best five players, but I think the playoffs aren't for me this year."
Not interested. Thanks.
Has there been any word from Alpecin what they're going to do for the Tour this year? Are they going to stage hunt and go for potentially like a green jersey? Or
nobody's announced. We know that Vanderpool is going, but they haven't announced teams yet. So we don't know. And they might not announce until like the week before. So
he's going for everything. If MVP is going to be there, he's going for green and he's going for stages, guaranteed.
Yeah, that's what I think he wants
for yellow.
I don't actually know if he wants to get a green jersey.
No, definitely no yellow. Him and Wout can't go for yellow yet.
Well, also the two of them battling all those freaking
sprinters. Be awesome. Yeah. What do the first stages look like? Because that's the thing. Like, they could go to yellow. They could go get some yellow. Sure. Some time in yellow.
He did a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Couple days in yellow.
Yeah.
Vanderpool did. Fantastic.
Mm. That'd be awesome. It would be great to see them for the first like 10 days go at it. It'd be awesome.
I think that's the case, Price. I think it's like they're going to go play for the first 10 days and we'll see if they finish.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Not all of them.
See if they can get some stage wins. They'll go for the green.
Yeah.
Because Wout will finish.
And Wout will go for the green jersey again.
And he'll probably win a Mont Ventoux or something stupid. If he does, that's not good. I'm going to throw the remote at the TV. I better not be over here, Jake.
I think they're going up to Duez again, so I'm sure he'll probably win that somehow.
Somehow.
No, that's Pidcock's race right there.
not if anybody but Chris Froome is in his race.
I was going to say, that's Chris Froome's. That's his. He's going to run the bike up.
Pidcock won Alpe d'Huez last time they went up.
I know. I know he did. I know. He's great, but still.
In other Pidcock news.
Okay.
He's mountain biking.
He raced his mountain bike. Yeah, Segway. Good segue. There was a World Cup mountain bike racing in Czechoslovakia, Nova Mesa or something like that. I screwed that
up. Was he on the new Pinarello full suspension?
Yes, he was. Oh, the Pinarello Dogma. Brand new full suspension bike. They just built a mountain bike.
Why is their road bike and their mountain bike and their everything else bike
the
Dogma?
Same name?
Why is it? Because you'd think it'd be Pinarello, and then you'd have like Dogma would be like their road bike series, and then they would have something else for mountain bike, something else for gravel, something else for cyclocross.
Originality is hard, Matt.
That's true.
It is hard.
Good point.
BMC struggles there as well. Instead of using words like Dogma, they use letters and numbers like over and over and over and over again.
Yes,
BMC is really bad.
Yeah.
So there was a short track race. Pidcock actually went out and did a 3.5 hour training ride and then lined up for the short track race.
Like you do.
And won it.
How long was the race? 45 minutes? Hour?
No. 20 minutes? 18 minutes?
That's it.
It was a full gas 18 minute mountain bike short track race. It was fun to watch. It wasn't like four guys off the front. It was a pack of 30.
Oh my gosh.
All together for like the whole race. It was so exciting to watch.
What do you think the watts were for the first, I don't know, 10 seconds of that race?
And Pidcock got clearance to do the race like an hour before the race started.
That is
weird. And so he started dead last in the back.
No way.
What?
Yes, back row, and worked his way to the front and out sprinted this huge German guy to win the short track race. Okay, kudos Pidcock.
Absolutely.
So nice pretty work. Exciting.
Not in the big six.
Yeah. And then he also, then the mountain bike cross country race was the next day. And that was more like an hour and 20 minute race. And Pidcock won that one as well. So he got away with one other guy, crashed, lost like 10 seconds, got back up, clawed back to him, ended up beating by like 6 seconds. So he won both mountain bike races, UCI mountain bike races this weekend. So kudos. Him.
I'm curious to see what he thinks about that Pinarello mountain bike. Yeah. He was riding on an unbranded BMC four-stroke for some time, and I know that that was really rubbing the folks over there at Pinarello pretty much the wrong way, but I don't know.
He crossed the finish line in the cross-country race, hopped off his bike, wiped off the word Pinarello so you could see it pretty well, and just like presented the Pinarello to the world. Here's the Pinarello Dogma mountain bike. So that was kind of exciting.
It's kind of his job.
Yes, yeah, that right. Exactly.
I mean, I'm sorry, but
he did it. He did it perfectly. He did it great.
What do you think that thing cost? About 15 grand?
I'm sure.
Probably.
Freaking Pinarellos are 15 grand to start with. Yeah.
Starting at
15 grand.
Oh,
so that's funny. Pretty exciting. In the women's race, in the cross country race, Puck Peterisi, who is under 23, but chose for her first ever UCI cross country mountain bike race to cat up to the elite field, not race the U23s, and she won it with some great strategy and beat the current world champion. So that was kind of exciting.
Nice work.
Yeah. So that's it for mountain bike racing.
Cool.
Any other female races?
Yes, we had a fantastic race in Italy. No, not Italy. It was in the Basque country of Spain.
Okay.
It was called. Yeah, I'm going to screw this up.
Do not screw this up. This is important.
The three-day Itzulia women race. Itzulia women race in the Basque country. Yeah. And the three-day race. The first two, this was a really interesting story because the first two stages were both won by Demi Vollering, who is crushing this year. She's won almost anything she's raced this year. And on the last day, Annemiek van Vleuten really wanted to win the stage. And so SD Works, who Demi Vollering rides for, instead of trying to defend her jersey for the win, they said they were going to go full gas. They were going to attack. And so Annemiek van Vleuten tried to get away on the final climb, and Demi Vollering just sat on Annemiek van Vleuten's wheel, which allowed her teammate by the name of Marlon Reuser to attack because she was able to attack both Annemiek van Vleuten, and Annemiek van Vleuten couldn't follow because she was trying to stay with Demi Vollering, who she thought was her
main competition.
And Marlene Reusser got away and won the stage by like 2.5 minutes.
Not only won the stage.
And because she won the stage by 2.5 minutes, she ended up winning the GC overall.
That's just awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is brings us to our topic, right?
We're talking about Willis.
What you talking about, Willis?
What are you talking about, man?
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about, man?
What do you guys think about handing off a victory, not just like a tiny, like, oh, here, you know, you get the stage, but I'm talking about like the entire tour, whatever. And this is not a grand tour, obviously, but like handing over the entire race to a teammate.
So this was a gift by Demi Vollering to her teammate. She clearly could have beaten her own teammate, but they had this plan from the beginning saying, look, if you get away and you win this stage and you win the whole thing, fantastic.
Mm-hmm. They said they had it planned.
They had that planned to do this, to see if her teammate could get away and actually win the stage and win the GC overall. And Demi Vollering was all for it. So I freaking love that. I mean, it just makes you love Demi Vollering even more.
It's very selfless. It's a very selfless thing to do. And it's a great thing for a team to have teammates that will do that kind of thing for you, because it doesn't always have to be about the same person over and over and over again. It's kind of nice to be able to spread that out a little bit, but it's also going to throw other teams on the ropes. They're going to be like, whoa, what the hell? What just happened?
What just happened?
And that person not only won the race, but they won GC. And for the team to be able to do that, I mean, that's kind of cool. But in the same breath, what's Eddie Merckx saying today?
So far, we haven't heard anything from Eddie Merckx. But this is what Demi Vollering said after the stage.
Okay.
She said, every stage I was on the podium together with Marlon, her teammate. Mm. I am super happy that she takes the last stage and the overall win. When someone from Team SD Works win, we all win.
And that's perfectly said there.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about any race that we step into. And it's even better when there's a bunch of us in there, because then you don't really know how it's going to happen. But I love nothing more than to see our team be on the podium. If we can be at the very top of that step, even better. But what I personally love is, like, I've been able to win a lot of bike races in my day. I've done pretty well and came up through the ranks and then got hit by a car, and things haven't been so great over the last 5 years. And, you know, I did win a road race just recently, which was pretty cool. It was the first one in a long time. But for me, though, I don't need to come out and win every single race. Do I want to have the ability to win? Absolutely. But it's almost, for me, at this stage of the game, it's more gratifying for me to know that I helped put somebody into that position to win a race that either has never won a race before or has had really bad luck, or, you know, they win races very, very seldom, and it just doesn't happen all the great. So to be able to deliver that person to that position to be able to win, I'm happy to do anything that it takes to make that happen. And I think that that's a fantastic feeling. But there are plenty of people out there that are going to say, no, if you've got the ability to win the race, you're the best racer in the field, you should go out there and you should win. And I don't necessarily agree with that. What do you guys think?
It's being a part of a team that I love being a part of and loving the teammates that I ride with.
Yeah.
And I am just as happy to see a teammate on the top step as to see myself. Now, that is more prevalent in road racing than off-road stuff. It's a little more difficult to gift a race to somebody if you're doing mountain bike racing or cyclocross racing. You know, it's not impossible if you're both like head of the class and you can let your buddy go. You know, I'm all for that. But
here's the thing: if people are going to complain about this, then they're going to just need to start complaining about all cycling. When you are marked, and you're like, okay, my teammate's going to go. You're going to mark me. I'm going to send a teammate out. Mm-hmm. Good luck marking all of us. Like, that's called team racing.
Yeah.
Like it's the most, it's pretty basic fundamental cycling racing, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's like, yeah, when you see it all the time, especially at like classics or whatever, it's like there's two teammates and then there's one guy that's out there. Guess what they're going to do? They're going to keep attacking, and the other person's going to sit on the wheel until their teammate, whichever one it is, doesn't even matter. It's like till that person gets away. And the other, it's like the person that's the third wheel, that person's screwed. He's never going to win against two teammates because they're going to play team tactics against you.
Yes.
Which sounds like what's happened. You know, I didn't watch the race, but that's kind of what it sounds like what happened in this particular situation.
Yes.
It's like, she was marked, teammate went up the road.
Well, look at Wout van Aert and Christian Laporte. in the, was it E3 Saxo Bank race?
Sure.
Yeah. One of the cobbled classics, and they both got away, and clearly Wout van Aert was the strongest rider, and he basically pushed him across the line.
Go.
Right. At the finish to, you need to win this race. And that was where Eddie Merckx said, if you can win, you win. Mm-hmm. And the whole rest of the world said, kudos, Wout van Aert. We love you even more for doing that and being a good teammate.
Yeah.
I mean, Christian Laporte is going to kill himself to work for Wout van Aert because of that. And same thing would happen with Demi Vollering and Marlon Reusser. She is like her ride or die forever now.
Yeah. Some people might say, though, hey, you know, he just gave up a bunch of money, or she just gave up a bunch of money by letting somebody else win the race. But that's not how it works, especially in road racing, because you've got your contract. You're getting paid regardless, but you're going to come into a race. And if you win, there's a purse there. But the team will take the total sum of all of the monies that have been won, and they split it evenly amongst everybody out there.
Yeah.
So even in the Tour de France, if you've got people winning money on stages for like winning like the King of the Mountain jersey or winning the, you know, what, however many dollars they're putting on like a sprint stage or whatever it is, it comes back to the team and they pool it all up and they divvy it out amongst the riders and probably some of the support staff too, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that Jonas Vingegaard, when he won his prize money from the Tour de France last year, he split amongst all his teammates. And he didn't include himself in that. He didn't take a portion of the prize money. What he did was, I'm going to get plenty of promotional dollars. Uh-huh. You know, it's, you know, other contracts. So that's, you guys have the prize money. Yeah. So.
Huh. Well, is there ever a time where you would not subscribe to this?
If you don't like your teammate.
I like the idea of being like, hey. You know, so let's say you've got like some sort of superstar team. Let's say like, I don't know, let me think. I need to think of a good example where you really have like two people that are like superstars. And I like the idea of being like, we're going to work together until we crack everyone.
Okay, wait.
This probably happens in
Lance Armstrong
on our team.
Albert Contador. Armstrong and Contador. Let's work on
you work together.
Astana.
Yep, that's true. You work together until someone... You work together until someone is like clearly the jersey person. A lot of teams do this where they're like,
yeah,
we have two front runners. We're going to kind of let it figure out and play out. And
here in the Giro right now, we have Theo Gegenhardt and
Garrett Thomas.
Yeah. So they are teammates. They're separated by 2 seconds right now.
And what do they say? They're like, these are our co-leaders.
Initially, you know, like, it was supposed to be Theo, but Garrett like outrode him in the time trial, I think. He beat him by a few seconds. So
it almost, to me, looks like they haven't quite decided.
Correct. And we're a week into the Giro, and they still haven't quite decided who is it going to be. And right now they're sitting 1-2. No, 1-3. I think Roglic is in between them.
Huh.
So, interesting.
Interesting. Like you said, it doesn't really happen in the off. I mean, gravel's different, though. That's still more towards
the road tactics in
exactly.
gravel.
Would you ever like give up a win in a mountain bike short track race or an XC race to a teammate?
I want to say yes, that I would.
Yeah.
I mean, I can.
Yeah. You would.
I'm happy for my teammates. I love to see my teammates.
There's one thing, if you're in a race, and let's say that's like you and a teammate, and you guys are both away from the field, and there's no more team tactics left, and maybe you get enough of a gap to where you don't have to worry about it, and it comes down to you and this other person, would you ever sit up and just let them ride off and get the win, like a clear win?
There's four or five teammates that, I would do that for.
I think you would, but I also think that on the flip side of the coin, you would just be like, and it'll be fun if we just race to the finish. Like, you probably have done this in the past month. You've been racing a lot.
Yeah.
Some of those times you probably are like, this person needs a win. If it was me, you'd be like, this person needs a win.
Yeah.
If it was like Dudlick or someone, you'd be like, let's race. Like, I just feel like it depends on the person, on who you might be like,
okay,
the situation.
So this is you gifting it. Let's put it in role reversal. Let's say that you're out there and Matt He takes your lunch every single day.
Yeah.
And Matt just sits up and says, Lance, you go, you win this one. He gives it to you. Do you feel like you earned that? Or are you going to say, no, let's duke it out to the end? Or are you going to be good with like saying, yeah, I'll take the little freebie. And then Matt, I know Matt could have beat me, but he's going to let me win. So did you really win? Do you really want that?
I don't
want
to think about that. Did Christian Laporte really win E3's Saxo Bank?
Is anybody ready for a devil's advocate here?
Yeah, go for it.
Let's hear it.
We need it.
All right, here we go. I'm a hard devil's. I'm going to Satan advocate this one.
Okay.
So
we're ready.
At the very top level, understand these cycling teams are also battling for World Tour rankings. If one of the best on a team is going to gift a victory, that's probably pre-decided that that's not going to hurt the World Tour ranking for the team. Because if Wout's not winning races, Jumbo-Visma's not placing as high in the World Tour ranking, which does determine funding at the end of the year. So, and there's also prize money for that. So it's amazing what she did, and it's awesome, but she's also doing it tactically. She understands this is not going to hurt my World Tour ranking significantly, and as a team, we're still making money off of this. It's different when you're an amateur cat, you know, 3, 4, 5, or cat even 2, racing with your team, and this isn't your, like, living. So it's different when if you are somebody on a team, like, I understand Eddie Merckx's point of view. Eddie Merckx's point of view is that if Wout wants to continue to be considered in the conversation of the greatest of all time, he cannot make a habit of handing off wins to teammates.
Yeah.
That's disagree. Just the bottom line.
Disagree. Yes, he can. When he hands off
when he hands off a victory. Hold on. No. I'm a devil's advocate this.
Okay? I love it. Let's go.
When you race at a professional level, there is a level of respect. Okay, everybody want to remember Lance Armstrong at Panattoni? Yeah, what happened when Lance handed a victory to Panattoni?
That was not smart.
Panattoni was pissed. Yeah. He was pissed because it's not respectful. At the top level, when you race professionally, if somebody let me step in front of them at the end of a triathlon, I'd be pissed at them. We're all professionals here. We're racing for places. Don't gift me that. That's disrespectful.
What about when one of the English brothers? What are those two
Brownleys?
Yeah, he was cracking and he pushed his brother across the line first.
Carried his brother across.
100% different story. Johnny Brownlee needed points to win the overall series. Alistair Brownlee had no chance of winning the overall series at that time. Johnny Brownlee had to place second for him to win the World Series, the WTC series.
Okay. Okay.
Different world, guys.
But what about for our listeners? Our listeners aren't on World Tour teams. They're a bunch of scrubs like us.
A lot of our listeners are.
Yeah, but you watch them. How many listeners? What? How many of our listeners are triathletes? Three? We're talking, guys, we're talking about pros gifting pros. The reason this is a big story is because it never happens.
Yeah, that's true.
It happens like once every 5 years. Like, nobody, like, trust me, these guys are not looking, it's not like Alaphilippe's looking over at Remco like, nah, Remco, you take it today. Like, that's not how these guys operate.
Yeah. It is kind of how they operate, though. If it's GC battling, you don't give up a second. But when you're dominating, sometimes you do. You're like, I'm not going to win this stage because I'm that far ahead. Because if you're dominating, you're dominating. You don't have to.
Yeah.
So I think it depends on the situation.
Probably happens once every like 5 years. You get Wout who's with Laporte. He's like, dude, I'm going to win like 5 of these cobbled like races this year. Go ahead and take this one.
Yeah, it's not like he didn't get a final result too. I mean, second place, it's still
pretty
stinking good.
He's still on the podium.
And
they're not gifting it to each other.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I mean, is there? So are you saying that pros is one thing for us? Commoners are those sphere of people that ride in our, you know, categorized 2, 3, 4, 5 field. Do you think it's ever appropriate for us to be doing that kind of stuff?
Sure. Why not? You guys race every like couple weekends, like at least 2-3 times. It's great. Like go out there, race with buddies. If you got a buddy that did a ton of work and like he's invested, wants to win that race. Why not? Like you don't have to be the guy that like pips a teammate at the line or anything like that.
I can't say that I've ever personally handed over a race like that where I've sat up and said, you go take the win. I mean, I usually will battle to the very end. And it's always kind of fun to keep it sharp that way. But there have been plenty of times where I've gone into a road race knowing that, hey, it's not about me today. I'm not the supported rider and I'm just here
But that's different.
Yeah.
That's race tactics.
It's race tactics, but you're in essence, if you think that you have the capacity to be able to win that race, you're in essence giving it to somebody else if you're going to put yourself in a position of being a domestique where you're going to be supporting that person. So you could kind of say that it's six of one, half dozen of another by sitting up and saying, all right, in this race, I can clearly win this race, but you know, I'm going to support Lance. I'm going to say, Lance, we're going to support you today. I'm going to do all of the work for you. I'm going to blow myself up and hopefully I'll be able to, you know, maybe stay attached to the group, or if I have to ride in by myself, that's fine. Gruppetto it, whatever. Yeah. But I'm effectively turning the race over to Lance. I'm paying a race entry fee to go race for Lance in this particular scenario. Is that something that you would ever, would you guys ever think that that's a bad idea?
No, because if you were my teammate, you told me during the race that you could have won that, but you decided not to, I would have called BS.
but generally the protected rider.
That's a terrible sandbag. An awful sandbag.
But generally the protected rider is the strongest, or who you've decided is the strongest on the day.
Yeah, on the day. Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, understand that running and triathlon are different sports. Matt knows this rule. So in triathlon, if I do not decide to challenge somebody at the end of a race,
right?
This is a very debatable rule. This was actually the rule where they were going to suspend Alistair Brownlee, actually.
Yeah, true.
Is if you do not give effort at the finish and you quote unquote, I would need to look at the actual like letter of the law. But if you basically gift somebody a position, both are suspended. This happened in the test event in Tokyo when Georgia Taylor Brown and Sophie Caldwell. Was it Sophie? It might have been Sophie.
They're
one and two place were DQ'd because they ran across the line holding hands.
Same thing. There's actually a rule like this in running too. And there was two high school kids that got disqualified this past weekend.
I saw this.
Do you see this? Yeah. It's a weird rule. And
I like the rule.
Yeah. I like the rule too. I think that like judges need to be like empowered to be able to be like, yeah, no, we're not going to like, because these are two kids that didn't get to go to the state meet after winning their districts or something like that, right? Where it's like, you know what, these guys they should have gone to state.
I think the rule needs to be more clear. I think the rule needs to be more clear. Like at the start of races, remind the kids.
Do you think
that's a niche rule that I don't think most high schoolers would know?
Yep.
What else, guys? Anything else on this topic that you guys want to chew into? Any other like angles that you're looking at with respect to how this thing all boils down? I mean, we've had plenty of times where we've supported people. I can't think of a time that I've ever gifted anything to anybody, but
you've worked for people.
Yeah. But it's
different
in defense of that.
Very different.
I actually take joy in that. And even when I'm in my prime, sometimes it's fun just to kind of take the pressure off of yourself to have to perform and knowing that you've got a very specific thing that you need to go out there and do. And then after that, whatever happens, you just don't care because you did your thing and then it's like time to move on. You know, I can remember the last time I did PIR, I think it was my absolute worst placing that I'd ever had. It was something like, I came in like 50th place or something like that, but we had a full on train going and the whole premise was to launch a couple key riders to put them into position. And like I pulled for like a full half of a lap at like 450 watts and trying to go as fast as I possibly could, knowing that, you know, everybody's going to sprint around. And I got swarmed and everybody came around and I kind of rolled in next to Ian Gibson and we fist pumped each other as we crossed the finish line in like 50th and 51st place. And I'm like, that was fun. That was more fun than I should have out at PIR, but I was fine with that. I can't think of another scenario though, where I've really truly given up something, but I'm not opposed to that. And I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing as long as we're putting a teammate up on the podium or putting him in the best position to try and finish in the best possible places we can.
I'm not opposed to it either. I mean, come on. This is like local masters, old guy racing. I don't want to take it so seriously. Don't take it so seriously.
Then why do you show up and race?
Have fun because it is fun.
It is.
I want to have fun.
Yeah.
In the short track race I did this last week, I was lapping a competitor whom I should not have been lapping. He is fast.
Mechanical issues.
He had some mechanical issues. And when I caught him, we were going up a hill on our mountain bikes, and I put my hand on his back and I pushed him up the hill because I wasn't going to improve my position in the race, and the guy behind me wasn't going to catch me. So I pushed him up one of these final hills just as a, dude, I love you. I'm out here with you. We're here to have fun, and I hope this helps a little bit. I don't want to take it so seriously. I mean, when I line up on the race, yeah, man, I kind of switch on, but I also, I want to laugh and I want to have a good time and I want it to be fun too. So
yeah, but if you and I are both in a race together, you're not going to sit up and let me win a short track race or an XC race. You want to put the screws to me on that thing, and you want to beat me as much as you possibly can.
Yes, you want to do the same thing with me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe a little bit less than you. Maybe. one other question. I don't know if there's much more to talk about on this, but do the gloves come off when it comes to Strava?
Way more serious than racing, guys.
Do you ever concede a segment? If you know that you're in a position and you're with another teammate,
give someone a segment?
Jake just did this to me like a week and a half
ago. Well, you guys have let each other out for segments hundreds of times.
Yes,
maybe not
have.
Thousands of times, but hundreds of times.
Yes, we
a couple,
have.
A few.
You have.
We've done a few.
So that's helping, but it's not, I don't think that you would ever like give someone, if you have a chance at getting it, you're going to snag it.
No, Jake totally.
He gave you one.
Gave me one. Yeah. Except I didn't end up with it.
Because somebody else came from behind me and was like, oh, I'll take that.
it was a short segment on a cart path on a golf course, and it was nighttime, and so there's no golfers out there, and so we're like, hey, we're gonna get this segment, and so I led the whole thing. I was like drilling it the whole way with Jake sitting on my wheel, which was, and when we got to the end, Jake even said, hey, I'm not coming around you. You've done all the work, and he just kind of let me have it. So
until the person who was sitting on my wheel said, yeah, I'll take that from you. Thank you very much.
Screw Lance Hepler. I take this thing.
What about if it was a longer segment, though? Let's say that it's multiple miles long and there's multiple poles in there and you've got the live segments up on your Strava. I know Lance is watching that, and I know that sometimes he'll get after it and he'll like put himself in a good position so that he can come around and quote unquote Lance the group.
Yeah.
Are you ever going to sit up and let somebody else have that, even though it was like equally shared work, or?
Nope.
I know this is getting into kind of the weeds, but I don't know. I'm just kind of curious if the psychology or the mentality changes when it comes to Strava, because you know Strava is forever.
There's no prizes. It's just for fun too. So I want to
I got a letter this weekend from like some route in Alabama or whatever, and so, but then I went to look at it to see, because I was like, okay, well, it's probably someone on a bike, and this is like a running course record or whatever. Yeah. And I went and I looked at it, and it was like it just went nowhere. Do you think that he deleted that particular activity, or do you think that?
Wait, so you Strava got an email, uh-oh,
clicked on it,
and was it a CR or was it a KOM?
CR.
So it was for running.
It was running.
You went to go check it, and then the event was gone.
The activity. I clicked on the link, and it was like that's going nowhere. So do you think that was a deleted activity at that point?
He either deleted it or made it private. Or
something,
or changed it from running to whatever it
biking
actually
or something
was.
Like
maybe.
But you'd think if he changed it, it would have shown up as biking or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
whatever.
He might have made it private.
Probably.
And if you make an activity private, it goes off.
Gone.
Yeah, it goes off the leaderboard.
Because I need my course records.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do. I don't.
All right. So what's the verdict on this, boys?
I love it. It's brilliant.
Yeah,
I'm super cool that we get to see people gift things to teammates.
Think it should happen more often than it does?
I do.
Okay, Matt, what do you think?
I think it happens about the right amount.
I
don't think we need to like. I don't want racing to just be turning into all of this like handing over. Oh, and this person is due for this, and this person is due for that, and it's cool when it happens rarely, and we can talk about it. But I don't want to see it like all the time, because I like it. Even if you're teammates, it's cool when they dig a little bit and trying to push each other and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's my take.
And so, Evan, you're going to stand on the pedestal of this shouldn't happen.
You can take it for my cold dead hands. If you respect me enough, we both better be dead at the finish line.
Okay. One last scenario that I want to ask you guys about this. And we've talked about this before, and it's kind of been something that always makes me chuckle because it comes up every now and then. I believe it was in 20, 17 or 20, 18, we had one of the very, very early season road races. It's a very flat course, about 6 miles around, called Dirty Circles.
Yes.
I was racing in a higher category later in the day, and I had volunteered for doing the lead car driving duties. And it was for the, I think it was the Masters 40 plus 3-4-5 group, or 4-5 group, if I'm not mistaken. It looked like a team ride because we had so many people that were in that particular race, but it was awesome. It was a big field, and we probably had, I'm not kidding, it's somewhere between like 15 and 20 people from our team in that race. Oh, so wow. We made it probably about a third of the field, and we had two of our teammates that were very strong and actually worked together to get away in this particular race. And it was so much fun to watch because I was driving in my truck, watching the whole thing unfold in the rearview mirror and basically pacing everybody. And I watched them break off the front, and it was Sean Martin and it was Chris Hanel, and they got away from the field, and they ended up getting a really big, really big gap. I mean, like probably multiple minutes. They ended up finishing the race well ahead of the peloton, right? They come rolling up to the finish line, and they were arguing with each other. No, you take it. No, you take it. No, you take it. And it got to the point where I swear they must have been rolling at like 3 or 4 miles an hour coming into the last like 30 or 40 meters of the race. And I was joking with them. I'm like, you guys should have just like sang Kumbaya and held hands and hugged each other as you crossed the finish line. But they came across so slow. And I can't remember, but I think... I don't even remember which one of them won because it was so like uncontested and they went by so slow. I got to go check this out and see who it won, ended up winning. But it was, you know, Sean Martin and Chris Hanel. And I think it was a 1-2. I can't remember if it was Hanel that ended up getting the win or not. But how do you guys play that out? I mean, when it comes down to two people that work super hard, and Sean will tell you, like Chris did the majority of the work. He was, you know, super strong. He was stronger than me on the day. I still call BS on that a little bit just because it does take a lot of work from both people to stay there. And Hanel's an alien, and he's super aero and he's super strong, and he doesn't necessarily have to put out the same amount of watts, but just to stay with him, you have to put out, it's one of those conundrums where you're like sitting on his wheel and you're putting out more watts than he is to go as fast as he is. It's just like, that's how slippery he is in the wind. So Sean still did all of the work to stay there. He still put in plenty of digs and did plenty of work to make that thing happen for both of them. And it came to the finish line and they're literally arguing over, no, you take it. No, you take it. I'm not going to, nope, you're going to. And they just went back and forth. And I think Sean ultimately made Chris go across, if my memory serves me correct, because his point again was is that he did the bulk of the work. What are you guys going to do in a situation like that? Like when it's two teammates that have been just battling until the very, very end.
You should have run him over with your truck.
Oh, Chris. It was Chris Hanel. So
it was Chris Hanel.
Yeah, good on you for looking that up. What year was it? Was it 2018?
It was 2018.
Okay. That's what my memory was telling me. But how are you guys going to handle a situation like that real quick, and then we'll move on?
That stuff happens. You get two people that are really nice. It just happens. Like, I get annoyed with that after a minute, and then I'm like, all right, fine.
As long as they're not creating a dangerous situation like a field sprint coming right up behind you, let them track stand it out.
That's almost what they did. That should have been funny. Come up to this line, like, you track stand, whoever puts a foot down first has to.
Yeah, right.
That's awesome. All right, what do you think about that, Evan? What are you going to do in that situation?
Just take the win, Hanel, for God's sake.
Too nice of a guy. He doesn't like to do that, though. All right. I think that's about enough of that stuff. What do you guys think? We good?
Champ Bailey out.
Oh, yeah. Longest back, whatever we call
lead
that.
Out news. Lead out news.
All right, let's do, we haven't done this in a while. Hey, what's the thing right here? You want to do this?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
What do we got?
Let's do some Patreon stuff
here. Patreon drawing.
Okay.
Talk about Patreons for a minute, and what is it, and what do they...
Patreons are the folks that help support this little dog and pony show that we got going on here called The Dial Podcast. There's this little website called...
1 or 10?
Patreon.com, and you can go there, and there's actually links on the Dialed Podcast, link on the Dialed Cycling Lab. If you go to dialedpodcast.com, it'll take you to our website where there are links that you can follow to Patreon, and you can see different ways that you can support the show. And we're going to be adding a few different options pretty soon that are going to be even less expensive, just to make it a lower
Nice.
Cost of entry, so cool. More people can help out. But in doing that, there's some things that we're going to try and give back. But the most important thing is, like, we do this like little raffle thing here, and we'll pull names out, and we've got this little bin at the lab where you can come down and get a bunch of free little goodies, pick things out of the bag, and we are gonna do a drawing today. So Matt pulled a name out of the hat, and who do you got there, Matt?
Aaron Baraff. And you're supporting the podcast here. I mean, for the price of coffee, you can support the podcast.
Sure,
we appreciate it. And we will love you forever, for all times.
Yep, and just helps support some of our operational costs, because, you know, things like web hosting and
all the little things.
There are some costs.
Yeah, yep. It just adds up every single month. So yeah,
Lance's LaCroix addiction.
Yes,
and his I don't know what I was trying to come up with something
mustache
funny.
Wax.
Mustache wax.
So if you want to support the Dial Podcast, you can go to dialpodcast.com, click on the Patreon link, pick a Patreon that works best for you, and we'll really greatly thank you. And we do want to get some of the Patreons to come back on the show. We used to do the listener hot lap, and I think that we need to get back into that. So if you are a Patreon and you are interested in joining us on the podcast, reach out to us. You can hit us up on any of the social medias, like on Facebook or Instagram. Or you can shoot us an email to info@dialedpodcast.com, or probably better using that info@dialedcycling.com, because I'm not sure if the info one for the podcast is
functional
right now. We just did a bunch of like web work, and there's a bunch of stuff that's still kind of like needing to get ironed out. I don't call it that.
Yep.
So, all right, moving on. Backpedal. We got some backpedaling today.
We got some backpedaling.
Did there I miss something? Lance is looking at me like I missed something.
No, you didn't.
Okay. I think that the guy on the phone and the guy sitting across to me on my left here is...
They have actual racing to talk about.
Actual racing to talk about. So let's get you and me out of the way real quick.
Okay,
Matt,
why don't
you
go first? Yep. I have been running and swimming some and biking a little bit. I texted Jake this weekend to see if he could bike, and he just sent me back a reply with his hands, with pictures of his hands, and they were like... dark green.
No, it was a thumb that was
dark. A thumbs up. It was like a thumbs up, like, hey, thumbs up, you go bike by yourself.
Yep,
jerk.
Green thumb, baby.
And in the yard looks fantastic.
It does.
Dude,
it's pretty
maybe
slick.
I can backpedal that. That's
backpedal. Just a picture of your yard. Backpedal. I went and biked shortly thereafter, and it was stupid hot, and it was windy too, and so I felt great on the way out. And coming back from Vancouver, it was just like wind in my face, which you'd think would help cool you down, but it was just hot, and I was falling apart, and I was going 10 miles an hour, and I was tucked down in the drops.
Pushing 300 watts going 10 miles an hour.
It was ugly. I was probably pushing 3 watts because I was so tired too. Probably didn't have enough nutrition, didn't have enough water. Who knows? I just get on the bike and go these days. But backpedal, done. Jake.
Cool. I got in 3 rides last week.
Nice.
That's it. We did the gravel ride, which was extra spicy.
Sorry.
It was all of us. I mean, we were all playing bikes. As a matter of fact, that was the highest MP that I've ever had for one of our gravel rides.
Wow.
My goodness.
Bonkers. But it was a blast. I love that ride so much.
Yeah.
Though we need to kind of cool our jets in some situations, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, that's another conversation.
Yeah, and then a great lunch ride for the shop. Everybody was well behaved in our zone too. And then we did the flogging ride, and the flogging ride was a blast per usual.
When is the Friday night fog hat coming? Is that right? This fog hat.
Fog hat ride. It's coming up in 2 weeks, if I'm not mistaken. So that'll be coming out very soon.
We need to start knocking those out early.
And I decided that there was a. You know, it's Mother's Day weekend this past weekend.
Yep.
There's a lot of stuff going on. I've got a to-do list of things at home that are a mile and a half long, and there was just family time that needed to be spent, and I decided that I was going to take a little bike sabbatical this past weekend. So I've been on my bike since last Thursday and was able to get a ton of stuff done, and was trying to get some projects finished up, which included a lot of work around the house and yard work. I think it was like 8:30 in the morning on Saturday morning, and this has nothing to do with the Dialed podcast, but I started doing yard work at 8:30 in the morning, and I didn't finish until 7 o'clock at night.
Oh, I wouldn't be able to stand up after that.
I took a one-hour break, and that was to go to Home Depot. So,
oh my gosh,
it was
dude.
A long marathon day, but I got so much done. But
I have an idea. Let's try to destroy your shoulder.
Mission accomplished.
It's not feeling
good. I mean, what are you thinking, man?
It's not feeling happy. And as a matter of fact, I followed up that with a bunch of work yesterday just to kind of finish up a bunch of loose ends and get it all buttoned up so it looked great for the afternoon of Mother's Day so that we could have family time here. And looks great, but I am.
It does look good.
I am wrecked right now. So, like, I thought to myself, I'm like, maybe I'll, my wife even told me, she's like, you know, you can go for a ride if you want. I'm like, nope, I'm going to get this all done. She's like, seriously, if you want to go for a ride, I'm not going to get upset with you. I'm like, nope, I'm fine with that. And then I'm thinking in my head, no, oh, maybe I could. And then I'm like, no, my legs are too tired because it's just like all kinds of work. And I'm like, maybe I'll go ride on the trainer or something like that. And then yeah. I tried to lift my arm up. I'm like, oh, we're not doing any of that
my
today.
My wrist was hurting after my bike ride. I don't know if it was like being in the drops for a long time. Something was like off.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm getting old, dude. We're getting old and we're falling apart. It's funny, like, Lance is the oldest of our group, and he's like, no, I'm fine. Perfectly fine.
It's because I'm not doing yard work.
I go out for like a 20-mile ride, and I'm like, I can't move my arm the next day.
Yeah. So. Evan, you want to back pedal for us?
Jake is basically just storing serious upgrade husband points, though. So he's going to be a Cat 2 husband here very, very soon.
Oh, yeah.
By yard work.
Hopefully I get amazing. Upgraded.
I think 10 hours of yard work is the equivalent of like 3 PIR wins, I think.
Yeah, dude, that's some serious cross training, though, let me tell you. Because it was not like I was doing nothing. And I think I looked down at my watch, and I think I finished the day with 18 or 19,000 steps.
Yeah. Oh yeah, right.
That's
not
a lot
even including the squats and lunges too. Oh, I mean, yeah. The steps aren't even the tough part. It's the carrying and squats and lunges.
Yeah, and then the bags of mulch. I think I dispersed about 40 bags of topsoil mulch. Each one of those bags is probably like, I don't know, 35, 40 pounds. Walking those things all over the property and throwing it down. Yeah, it was nuts. Anyway, go for it, Evan.
There's been research, 4,000 to 5,000 calories off 8 hours of yard work typical.
Oh my gosh.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me if that's the case.
Not even counting the heat too. I mean, the heat's huge there. Whew. So I did no yard work in my back pedal, to be clear.
You've been kind of like traveling though. You've been a traveling machine, right?
Dude, I'm exhausted. We're riding the razor's edge here. This is so had caught up with you guys about St. A's, which was probably the worst pro race I've ever had. And then 6 days later, so after St. A's, we drive up to White Lake, North Carolina. We stay in Wilmington, North Carolina. Beautiful town. Absolutely love Wilmington. Legs start to come back around. I've started to get used to East Coast time, thank God. So I was sleeping a little bit better. And basically went to the race knowing that this was like the A race for the start of the year. And the systems just kind of came around and I felt good. And morning of felt really good. Knowing that the start list was going to be basically just 12 mid-pack guys with two guys that are pretty quick. So there was a guy named Elliot Bach and then a teammate of mine on your left, Travis Wood. And Travis is a young guy who's really coming into his own now. So my goal was I just wanted to see him win. So all week we were really making sure Travis was good. He had just had COVID. So he was just coming back into fitness and feeling really good after a good Oceanside performance. So we all went in with high energy and had the best swim of my life by far. It was a wetsuit lake swim. And I broke away from the second pack and swam by myself, basically chasing the leader six guys. There were six guys in the lead pack. So I was in no man's land and came out in 26 and change. Swim was
wow, that's a good time, dude.
They
wow.
said, yeah, they said the swim was like 50 short.
And it's really salty where they swim in that race, which gives you probably a little buoyancy maybe.
No, actually it was just a lake.
Oh.
So no buoyancy. So that's why I was so happy.
I might be thinking of a different race at that same location where they swim in the.
You're thinking of the Ironman race there.
Yep, you're
there's
right.
an Ironman race there where they swim in the ocean. Yeah. This is a pro-am race where they just swam in the lake.
Nice.
So it was a good swim. Probably the best I've ever had in the pro field and less crowded than usual, which definitely played to my advantage so I could get into a rhythm. Hopped on the bike and the bike legs are really coming around this year, which is great. So just tucked in and it was basically 2 hours of four turns you could take an arrow, two laps. I think I came out of arrow like five times total for like 5 seconds. So very tucked in. I think I averaged like 26 high, almost 27 miles an hour, which has been a long-term goal to touch 27 in a race.
Yeah, that's
the third
actually,
best bike
that's pretty cool. Third best bike.
I had a third best bike on the day. So my, my match was all the bike. It put me into third. So I biked through the field. I was sitting on the podium coming off the bike, feeling probably as, we'll say, not as good as I've ever felt, but definitely as motivated as I've ever felt in a race. And pretty committed to, I was telling Josh after the race, was pretty committed to making sure I was near dead by the end of the race. So I was trying to pace the first 10K smart, taking in food, and then it started to get hot. And unfortunately for me, there were two guys who are great runners in the field who came off and were moving well. And it's a double out and back course, so we could all see each other.
Yeah.
So I'm moving well, but the last 4 miles comes. I hit the last turnaround with 3 miles left. And unfortunately, I can see that Ricky Flynn, who is a former 212 marathoner, and a kid named, or a guy named Yannick, super nice guy who
You've raced him a ton of times, right?
Different guy, actually. I know, I know who you're thinking of, but this guy's a new pro.
Okay.
And can run. Former collegiate runner, so very quick. And I was in trouble. So I could see them coming. I thought I still felt good, but unfortunately running 6:10 pace when those guys are running 5:20, 5:30, they're coming fast in the last 5K. And I got caught by Yannick with like 1K left. And then Ricky Flynn came by me for the last podium spot because they paid out 4 deep.
Dang.
He came by me with like 500 meters left.
So close.
And just had no response. Hit the finish line, just immediately hit the ground. So it was everything I had, but
you feel good about the race though?
Yeah, it's a race that showed me I'm where I should be right now. So I've got Josh and Ari have convinced me to possibly race this weekend again at a race called Onion Man, which is an Olympic distance race against them.
That's the bad idea. That's a local one, basically. Walla. It's the Dalles. Or somewhere.
Walla know. Walla.
That's yeah.
You've done that one before.
I have.
Yeah. Josh won that last year, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would expect you to. I mean, I guess I would expect it to be you and Josh between you two to.
Ari's in pretty good fitness.
Ari's
right
coming
now,
down
so.
For that one.
Yeah.
Interesting.
He needs to get a race under the belt, so he's coming down for it.
That would make sense for you three. Buddies, would you guys are all friends to just go enjoy that one? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean we're gonna
you'll try and kill each other, but
it's me, Ari and Josh. So yeah, we'll try to literally kill each other during the race. Yeah. But it's gonna be great to race with them.
To say now that you're gifting the race to
to Ari.
I've already it's funny we're talking about that because I had my list of sandbag excuses because I got sick to end last week, so I was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, kind of sick and still today recovering. So I'm just messaging Ari. I'm like, just to be clear, if I lose, I don't feel good.
So that's predominantly an amateur race, correct?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Do they have a pro field or do you just mix in with everybody else in your age group?
We'll just mix it. Well, I mean,
they have an elite field, I think.
Yeah. There'll be some like elite field that goes off first, hopefully.
Are they gonna like comp your entry or anything? Do they take care of you guys?
No, I'm sure
come
we'll
on.
Still pay.
Come on, Onion Man. They should be excited to have you guys.
Have they reached out to you guys to see if you would come?
No.
I think the race director knows Josh though.
Okay.
So yeah. Well, he won last year. So
they're a good group. It's a small race. I'm personally fine with paying for it. I mean, at those small races, I'm fine with that.
I just think, but you and I like rave about Y Racing and we have ever since we've known that group. But like, I still think that they should, like if you're a pro triathlete, you should have a free entry. It doesn't cost them anything, and it brings the competition level up.
Interesting you should mention that is actually this year they started that program.
It's such an easy idea.
They're doing it at Pat Crest, so we'll have.
They should do it everywhere. They should do it everywhere. I mean, Hag Lake is cool. I mean, all the races they put on are cool races.
It's only $90.
Hag Lake's got a great history to it too. I mean, there's a lot of great races that have happened at Hag Lake.
For a triathlon, that's pretty low. It's only $90.
Do you swim in the Columbia?
Yeah, I mean,
Do you remember if you swim in the Columbia?
For Onion Man?
Yeah.
Lance, where are we swimming for that? Do you know?
We don't know. We'll look it up live.
The water. Is where you're swimming in the water,
Lance. Where are you swimming, Lance?
It's not giving me. No, it is in a lake.
Oh, gotcha.
That, those aren't working. That's an image. What does that lake say? Here, zoom. That's fine. Don't worry about it.
So you finished in fifth place, you said, or sixth place, Evan? It's your
fifth place at White Lake, yeah. Lake.
Will you go back and do that again next year?
Yes, that'll be on my schedule every year now.
Sweet. Wow, really? That's a big trip,
yeah,
dude.
The race before won't be, so I'll only come out for White Lake.
Okay,
nice.
Yeah, it's in Bennington Lake, the swim at Onion Man, so it's not in the river.
Cool.
Interesting.
Gotcha.
Awesome. Anything else? Any more backpedaling for you?
No, that's it.
Cool. Hepler, you raced.
I did. I raced my bike this weekend a couple of times again. Mm-hmm. It was.
Remember from the previous podcast, listeners, that Lance was struggling to figure out where he wanted to go.
Yes.
There was like the opportunity to race short track, whatever it is, like the Washougal.
There was two short track races, one on Saturday, one on Sunday in Washougal. Then there was the Cascade Gravel Grinder. The one day race being on Sunday in the Bend, Oregon area.
Which and is it was also Mother's Day weekend.
It was also
and you
Mother's
had
Day weekend.
Kids and things.
Yes,
and
stuff.
Life.
So I went to the short track race on Saturday. Okay. It was pretty well attended. It was warm and hot. Lots of people out there. No categories, strictly age groups, which was kind of
cool.
Nice. So you just raced your age group. And I lined up in the short track race and ended up second, which was fantastic.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not too shabby.
I lost to Michael Brown, who is the father of Ian Brown.
Local
17-year-old phenom who is on the Trex Bear National Development Team. Wow. And he's like super fast. And Michael, I've raced him, I don't know, 30 times. I've never beat him ever in any race. Yeah.
So apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
No.
And tree kicked your butt, huh?
The tree kicked my butt. I was able to hang with him for two of the eight laps. And I was so stoked that I was able to hang with him for two laps. So
how are his technical skills in comparison to yours? Are you guys on par with each other and he maybe just has a bigger motor?
Yeah, pretty close.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, he's 20 pounds lighter than me too. So he was out climbing me. So
gotcha.
There was one longish climb, not hard, just longish. And he was putting 2 seconds into me on that climb every lap. And we did eight laps and he beat me by 15 seconds. So that's about it.
That's not too bad.
Yeah.
Though, I mean,
but on the technical stuff, yeah, I was able to, we were similar.
And did you enjoy the course? Was it a well laid out?
Yes, loved it. It was fantastic. It was well designed. There was a rock garden that made it a little more tricky for people. They put more berms in some corners so you could just
rail
the corners. It was a great course, tons of fun. So
how was the dirt condition?
Dirt was good because and they even I think they sprayed it down a little bit because we ended up it was really hot in the Northwest here. You know, over the weekend.
It was in the 90s this weekend. What was the temperature, your race time?
My race time was 8:45, so it was perfect.
Pretty good.
It was like 68 degrees at 8:45 a.m. It was wonderful.
Really?
Yeah. So, yeah, my race time was nice and easy.
Yeah. Did anybody else have issues with the heat as the day went on?
Yep. It got hot.
Yep.
And got hotter and more difficult. And they actually allowed it like a feed water spray zone for your racers because it was hot enough, so they allowed to do that.
Okay.
So
and so in that race you had company on the podium, correct?
Yes. My teammate Randy Frost ended up taking third on Saturday with me.
That is fantastic.
He was over the moon. It was very cool. I was so happy that he made it there. We have other teammates that are very fast as well that just aren't quite there this year yet. Mm-hmm. And so for Randy to make it on the podium, he was like over the moon. So
he's been training hard, putting in big miles. He's getting fast too.
He has been. So
good job, Randy.
And lots of teammates did really well. We had a big presence there, which was also very fun. So, so that night I had to decide, am I going all the way to Bend to do the gravel race or am I just going to go back to the short track race? And I ultimately decided that, I was going to spend Mother's Day with my wife.
You wimp.
And this is all news to me. This whole past weekend, I kind of took a sabbatical from bikes and social media and all the things. So our team uses Slack to communicate. And like I was telling Lance earlier, like I didn't check it until Monday morning, and I opened it up and I'm like, oh my gosh, I think the number I saw was like 48 notifications in there. It was like, oh God, I got some catching up to do. That was just for the team. But I didn't even see any results from Strava. I didn't go on and look at any race results that were possibly posted up on Obra. So it's all just kind of like news to me. So it's kind of fun to hear that you guys did well.
Yeah, so we had a ton of fun. So I went back out Sunday, and Michael Brown and me and Randy had the exact same result.
Oh, geez.
So Michael Brown beat me by like 20 seconds, and I was second, and Randy Frost was third in our age group. So, it was a great time. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah. So. Now, I don't know how or when or why or how, but I did see a video clip of you going around like taking videos, and there was one of a guy in a medical tent and said his feelings were, that was hilarious, by the way. And then the other one that I died of laughing was Edward Dudlick.
I caught him. So Edward Dudlick came out, first mountain bike race ever.
Yeah.
So he did the beginner category, which was not right for Ed. He won handily.
Uh-huh.
And so we said, okay, you've got to do the 40, you got to do the age group category that was just like 3 hours later. So we stuck around and did the age group category, and he worked himself over.
He was spent.
But he ended up third in his category. Wow. You know, so yeah, I got a little video of just after he finished when he was still suffering and in the pain cave.
Yeah, if you want to see that, go check out Lance's Strava.
Yeah, it's pretty stinking funny.
Pretty funny. Cool.
So yeah. So we had a blast. I had a lot of teammates out there. It was kind of poorly attended on Sunday, which was disappointing, but it was competing with this gravel race and with Mother's Day.
Plus people came out and raced the day before. Plus there was the Independence Valley road race the day before.
Yes, there was a road race.
So much stuff going on this weekend. I kind of wondered if that was a bad move trying to go back to back, but I think all put together, I don't think that there was a big big investment on Zone 5's behalf actually have that. The course is already set up. Invite people to stay the night. Make it kind of a fun little thing. And if a lot of people don't show up, it's not like you're going to necessarily be losing money. You're just going to maybe hopefully make a little less.
Yeah,
they
did make it a short cup track. They made it a short track cup race.
So
your results for both days put you in the running for the short track cup. And so, and the first three people in the short track cup, you ended up getting these very cool custom made wood medallions that had.
So you got second in the cup.
I got second in the cup.
Because the results are the same. Yeah.
So
I don't. Will there be like call up points or call ups for the state championships that
maybe
pulled from this?
So we will do the exact same or probably very similar course in July when we have the short track championships. But that will remain to be seen. They kind of made the course to try to stay as much in the shade as possible because we were expecting heat. And so they might change that for the July course, which is fine. So,
well, it's probably going to be just as hot in July.
Very well could be just as hot.
Last year at the state championships, it was in the 90s.
It was ugly hot last year too. Yeah. So
you almost raced one other day this week, right? Almost.
Gravel ride was a race, wasn't it?
No, on Monday. I think you sent me a text message.
Oh.
So yeah, we have Monday night PIR, the circuit race, and I went down there with all my gear, and because I had to deliver something to a teammate, I owed something to a teammate, and so I went down there, delivered it, and as I rolled up, it started pouring rain.
This week was full on weather whiplash.
It was.
Yeah, it was like crappy, rainy, coldish. Monday
was like 50 degrees, and it only rained in the evening, but for like an hour and a half, and that was right during the races.
Yeah.
And I literally sat there and went, "Nope, not gonna do this race." And again, like the 1-2-3 race,
mm-hmm.
2 weeks ago had almost 70 people in it, and last week had 14.
Wow.
And that was because of the rain and the weather. So tonight's race, there...
Another 70 people.
I'm guessing there will be 70 people out there tonight because it's going to be in the 90s.
Yeah, it's still warm, but it's not going to be quite as warm as it was over the weekend. No. So.
And it's an hour race. I mean, so I think it'll be well attended tonight.
Good.
So
cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Other than that, that's
anything
it.
Else?
No, I did other stuff, but nobody cares.
So. All right. Let's wrap this thing up. One last thing, Matt. Go ahead.
My plan, and you know how plans go, is to release a video talking about the Garmin Instinct 2X, which is a bigger Garmin Instinct 2. It's got more battery life. It's got bigger screen. It's got a flashlight built into it, all for like $450. They didn't raise the price of it. It's a great device. Does everything pretty much. It's missing a couple things like mapping. It's a monochrome display, so it's, but whatever, it's half the price of, you know, an Epix or something like that.
Sure.
But very nice device. Video should be out this week as long as everything goes well. Last week was the 965 watch post, and that one's doing well. It's a popular video and worth checking out for sure. The 965 is their top of the line triathlon watch. So
excellent.
Yep.
Evan Price, you want to wrap it up for us real quick? One last thing.
Heading out to a race this weekend, and that's about it.
Nice.
Onion man.
You could be the onion champ. Mr. Onion.
Oh, I don't know.
Walla Walla sweet onions, best friggin' onions in the world.
If you don't come back smelling like onions, sweet onions, I'm gonna send you back out to Walla Walla.
Lance, one last thing.
I am racing my bike again this weekend.
No way.
This will be my 11th race of the season already. So go figure. There is a mountain bike race in Silver Falls State Park down by Silverton,
that's
Oregon.
Be pretty.
Yep. So this is the fourth race in the Oregon XC mountain bike series. So I'm going to go down there and
do you ride
throw
behind
down.
A waterfall?
We do not. We do a separate
just
section.
Change the course.
Change
the course, people.
They keep us off the that's trail fair. Of 10 falls because that's super popular. Yeah. But there are mountain bike trails that we're doing. But
are you even allowed to bike on those trails, or is it just are they really strict with them?
I have no idea.
Who knows? We'll find out.
Yeah.
Come find out. Tell us on the podcast next week.
That's down in the Silverton area, right?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I've been down there for road racing, but never off-road.
Yeah, it's about an hour and a half south of here or so.
Cool. Not
bad. Yeah, and I'm still kind of trying to... I have unbound gravel in 3 weeks.
Yes,
so I'm still trying to get some volume in here and there, but I'm still racing through it all. I'm
you
not doing
bike,
it right.
You need to
whatever
bike
I'm
down
doing,
there,
I should.
Race, then bike back.
But I'm only doing the 100 on mile bike. At unbound, so I'm not...
You're not doing unbound. You're doing kind of bound.
I'm...
you're actually not unbound. You're bound.
I am bound.
You're
I'm
bound,
doing
bound.
The bound race, not the unbound race. That's
fair. All right. My one last thing is I didn't really have much to contribute to this in terms of the things that I did this last week, but that's going to be my one last thing is don't hesitate to take a little bit of time off.
Yep. Yeah.
Just disconnect. It's actually quite nice. Like, hey, family, and this whole laundry list of things you got to get done. It was nice to be able to check those things off the list. And I sometimes get caught up in this all things dialed all the time because we got a lot of things going on and always trying to push. And it doesn't feel like work. It's always like it feels like it's fun. And I sometimes have to remember to you know what, take some time off. So it was nice to be disconnected and off the bike and just moratorium on all things cycling for a few days, and it was kind of nice. So try it sometimes.
Good for you.
Yeah. Give it a try, people. All right. We will be back next week with another one of these. And until then, bye for now.